Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Top looking for Rashford. Brilliant control, brilliant finish from Marcus Rashford, and he marks his 100th Premier League appearance with an outstanding goal.
Sterling brings it back to Gundogan, back into the box. Lovely football by City. Sergio Aguero couldn't miss.
Square pass to Kante, and now a brilliant finish from Gonzalo Higuain.
Towards Llorente, chests it down to Son. Son to shoot, goal! Tottenham Hotspur have broken through, and it's Son Heung-min again.
Play it down the line, though. It's a big chance here for West Ham, and they've got the equalising goal. A brilliant free kick right off the training ground. Miguel Antonio in off the post, far bottom corner.
It's the Premier League preview show for week 26 of the 18-19 season. A few short weeks ago, it looked like the Premier League might be becoming a procession, with Liverpool delivering their first title in 29 years. Since then, they've started wobbling like a jelly on a speedboat, leaving Man City and Tottenham attacking with spoons in hand. There's big games for all three this weekend, which we will preview. Plus, the Marco Silva derby, where the team that actually has Marco Silva are the ones that wish they didn't. Cardiff have everyone at the bottom of the table worried, and plenty more action besides. I'm Tom Rennie, and this is the Premier League Preview Show. Let's say hello to our panel for the day, starting with TalkSport's football editor, David Walker. Dave, you must be excited about Marco Silva getting the sack this weekend after a big loss to the Hornets.
Well, he's got to make it there first, isn't he? They've got to take on Man City on Wednesday as we record this a few hours before the game, so I don't even know if he'll make it to Saturday.
I hope he is. I hope he is in charge. Otherwise, a whole section of today's show is going to be completely redundant by Thursday morning. But you don't get sacked after losing against Man City,
no.
Do you?
It'd be lovely to finish him off, but I'm sure we'll come on to that later.
We will talk about that. Two men that aren't finished off by a long chalk with us in the studio. Let's say hello to the footballing half of today's panel. Let's start with the man opposite me, the former West Ham and Man City captain, Stevie Lomas is back. You all right?
Very well, Tom.
Did you enjoy the Hammers on Monday? You were there, weren't you, for the Liverpool draw?
I did actually, for the first time in a long time, came away thinking there was a makings of a team there, and they played like it. They're, you know, enthusiastic, got about Liverpool, and for me were the better team, Tom.
Because you were saying a few weeks ago you've been to a lot of games working there this year and there's nothing you'd really enjoyed.
Well,
to enjoy the game, at least.
I did enjoy the
you
game.
You stayed for the 90 minutes?
I certainly did. No, maybe just 5 minutes before, get the getaway before the traffic. But no, I think against the bigger teams, you know, we seem to be able to raise it. It's the lesser teams that we don't really play with the same level and intensity.
And we'll get on to this week's game against Crystal Palace a little bit later. The final member of our panel, but certainly not the least important, Kev Watson is here, former Tottenham, Reading, Rotherham midfielder. Good to see you, mate. You all right?
Yes, very well. Yourself?
I'm all right. Tottenham in the title race? Is that what you're going to tell us today?
Yes. Mathematically, well in the title race. Can they win it? Not sure.
We will find out. We'll talk about Tottenham's game a little bit later. If you are listening to this programme on a radio station, you can download an extended podcast. Search for TalkSport Premier League Preview Show on Acast, iTunes, Spotify, any other good podcast provider. I'm 33 today. Anyone bring me a cake or a card or anything? Money? No. Okay, fine. Let's move on to the football. We'll start with the league leaders, Liverpool, who take on Bournemouth on Saturday, 3 o'clock UK time. Liverpool unbeaten in their last 33 Premier League home games, winning 23 and drawing 10. Bournemouth, who I was covering in the weekend at Cardiff, have lost each of their last 7 away Premier League games, conceding at least 2 goals in each of those games. Crazy. I'll never understand how some teams can be so good at home and so dreadful away. We'll get to that, but let's start with Liverpool. Steve, as we mentioned, you were at the game on Monday. It has been such a big story. I've really been a little bit annoyed by some of the Liverpool fans, Liverpool media, saying, well, you know, Liverpool had so many players out against West Ham, that's why they struggled so much. If only they'd have had Yarmolenko, Arnautovic, Lanzini, Wilshere, Reed. Oh, no, wait, that was West Ham had loads of players out and still managed to get something from the game. Was it injuries for Liverpool or was it something else?
I don't think it was injuries. I think it was in the midfield area for me, the three lads that played for Liverpool, Fabinho, Alana and Kerry. For me, they haven't really done it this season. They've been out. I think they've been between the three of them. They've maybe started 15 games all season. I think Noble, Rice and Snodgrass dominated them. And I think that's where they're missing Milner and Henderson, that Britishness, you know what you're getting from them. And
Wijnaldum's a miss too, isn't he?
Yes, at the end of the day, they're quality players out your midfield. But that being said, if you brought them in, especially the money they paid for them, you'd expect them to be better. I think it wasn't just one thing. I think Firmino up front was as poor as I've seen him in the last 2 years. He was dreadful. I thought he would have made the sub earlier and put Salah through the middle and brought Shaqiri on earlier, but he didn't do. He waited. And I think there's a bit of nervousness from the manager. He was moaning about, after the Leicester game, about the pitch not rolling right. And now he's moaning that West Ham, Kevin Friend, did West Ham favours. Now, he had an offside goal, blatantly offside. Could have won the game from another offside situation. So, for me, the manager's got to take stock and say, hold on a wee minute. We've only lost one game all season. Let's get back to what we're good at. But ultimately, when you're missing them level of players in midfield, it is going to have an effect.
Kev, what about you for Liverpool? We have asked there. I asked Steve what went wrong. I mean, West Ham are pretty good. Before that, Leicester were pretty good. So, you know, maybe, as Pep said a few weeks ago when City lost against Crystal Palace, that's just football. That's the way it goes. Has Liverpool not been particularly bad? Just a bit off colour? And do you expect them to recover against the worst away side in the league on Saturday?
I expect them to recover against Bournemouth, yeah. They're conceding goals left, right and centre away from home. And it's a good game for Liverpool to try and regroup and get themselves back to winning ways. I'm with Steve regarding them the other night. I think they moved the ball too slowly. It was all too ponderous. For me, you miss Milner and Henderson, like Steve said, in the middle of the pitch. Lots of energy there. It was all too ponderous. West Ham done their homework. For me, didn't defend very high up the pitch. There was no room for Salah to run behind. And when they broke, and we spoke about this earlier, you've got Mark Noble running past your three in midfield and joining the front. That's not even his game, but he's seen the opportunity to do it. Yeah. And he was in the box more than probably any other midfielder on the pitch. I thought he was terrific the other night.
He had a great chance to score as well at the edge of the box, running off people.
He did, yeah. I just think that there is a little bit of nervousness coming in. It doesn't matter, even if you've got your first 11 out of what you deem your best Liverpool team. I think they've not won it for so long. They come close under Brendan Rodgers. It's been years and years since they've won the title. They are going to be edgy getting over the line. And if Manchester City win at Everton tonight, even though Liverpool have a game in hand, just to see that, oh, wow, you know, we could have been 7 points clear and now we're behind, you're playing catch-up even though you've got a game in hand.
And not just that, they're Man City's key players are coming back really in the form. Everybody in that Man City team are at their best levels in terms of fitness, games played. Whereas Liverpool now at this key period, they're having to change their team. And that does have effect. Players coming in who haven't had a lot of game time all season. And two players in particular are coming to a new league, which, you know, is difficult in itself. And it does have effect.
But Manchester City have had their slip-ups, haven't they? But they've been and gone. And now they just look unbeatable again.
I just don't know if that's true. We'll get to Man City later. The reason the top of the table looks so interesting to so many of us is that I think all of them have real deficiencies at the moment. They might just be minor little things, but City at the back, Liverpool's injuries and the right-back situation, Tottenham, of course, without Harry Kane. We were talking a few weeks ago about it being two teams maybe getting 100 points. What makes it exciting for us again, Dave, is that it could be 85 to 80 with three teams running all the way to the end.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They've done so well between the three of them, City, Liverpool and Spurs, that all of a sudden a draw away at West Ham is a crisis. A draw against Leicester, who on their day are a decent team, is a real problem. Whereas in seasons gone by, you could afford to draw away from home here and there. But now, they're so much better than most of the league. You know, you drop one game, it's almost like in Spain, you know, with Real Madrid or Barcelona draw a game, one, all of a sudden the other one goes up. And that's kind of what we've got now on our hands with Liverpool and City, and to a slightly lesser extent Spurs.
With Liverpool, the way they play this weekend, against West Ham, they reverted to the kind of 4-3-3 they did last season. Shaqiri has been playing in a kind of 4-2-1-3 or whatever. Weird formation. They were kind of making a four up front in a kind of organic formation. Do you expect Shaqiri to come back into the starting 11, supporting the front three? And Steve, you mentioned Roberto Firmino earlier. I mean, they've got Divock Origi, who came on. Daniel Sturridge, who is fit at the moment, as far as I understand. Though, of course, things can change in the 72 hours between now and the game itself. Would you expect a few changes, certainly up front?
I would expect it, yes. But I think maybe he'll stick with his players that have been there and seen it and gotten results beforehand. I think the only issue is, can Bournemouth go and play with the same discipline that West Ham had? And I'm not certain. I think that's why Bournemouth do well at home, because they are so open and they're a game for anybody. But away from home, they can't revert back to that disciplined, sitting behind the ball, nobody coming out of line. And I think, I will think that it'll be an easy job for Liverpool. But that being said, I think they need an early goal, because if Bournemouth were to get a goal, cool, that would really put the cat amongst the pigeons.
What about relaxing after that first goal? Certainly against Leicester, Liverpool stopped pressing. They were crazy for the first 10 minutes. Forward, forward, forward. A real sort of almost 90s way of playing. Get forward, score the goal early in your home games. Against West Ham, again, they scored, in inverted commas, a goal moderately early, what, half an hour in, something like that, after absorbing some West Ham pressure. Is it important to get out there against Bournemouth, Kev, as Steve says, to score early? And what happens if they don't?
Yeah, I think so. But I think they're at the stage now where human nature plays a big part in what you do. They've been so good defensively this season with, I mean, Van Dijk, arguably the best player this season as a centre-half.
Not great the last couple of games,
They were wide open against West Ham.
Yeah, but
forgot to mark Harry Maguire the week before. I mean, you haven't got to do a week's research to know that, do you?
I think they've been 1-0 up in the last two games, started like a house on fire, but then are they saying, well, one's enough, you know, we can, we don't want to, you know, we don't need to go chasing it now, one's enough. One's never enough in any level of football, as it's proved to them the last two games. So they'll come out, no doubt he'll have them firing right from the off again. They'll need that early goal. But as Steve said, Bournemouth can be a threat. They concede goals, but they're good going forward. And they have scored away from home against the big teams. And they've got nothing to lose. They're not going to go down. They're not going to go anywhere near the top six, seven. They're going to go there and have a go. Absolutely no doubt about that.
Yeah, that might play, in the end, into Liverpool's hands. On Bournemouth, I've got to ask you two guys this. I'm always asking people these questions because, from the outside, people like Dave and I just can't understand how they can absolutely annihilate Chelsea in that second half. One of the best performances by any team against anyone this season. A game before that against West Ham, they were dominant, absolutely dominant. And we've mentioned about West Ham earlier, you know, competed against Liverpool in the last week, another strange sort of club. But then they go to Cardiff last weekend, and fair enough, Callum Wilson's out, and that utter waste of money, Dominic Solanke's playing up front, so fair enough, they're playing with 10. And David Brooks is out, who's been such a star performer, looks a real talent, links with Tottenham for 50, 60 million, all that. But how can they be so good and then go to Cardiff, who have not done a great deal this season, and be as bad as they were? Two did not flatter Cardiff City last week.
Yeah. I think it's a bit like, I think Eddie Howe looked at it and thought, we're a team, to stay in the Premier League, we've got to score goals. With that risk of times playing two up front, like he did with Wilson and King and Fraser getting forward and Brooks getting forward, yes, at home when you're probably going to have at least half the possession, it's not a problem. The problem then becomes when you're away from home. Can you change your mentality? Can you go to a defensive 4-5-1 and dog out a result? I don't think Eddie Howe is looking at that and thinking he can. He's thinking, listen, we're going to
be beating teams like Cardiff, though, right?
Got it.
Yeah.
You're not going to. You can have more possession than Cardiff at their place.
But I appreciate it. But then you've got your key players out.
Yeah.
And if your key players out, especially at a club like Bournemouth, then it's a more of a major effect than at clubs like Liverpool. But I think he's looked at it as a manager and think, you know what, we've got to score goals. Forget about getting draws. Let's get our home wins, and we're gonna play against teams at a tight little ground. We're gonna go and attack them and try and score goals. The counter attack to that is away from home. Can they be dogged and destructive? And the answer has been this season, no.
Unlikely they'll try this weekend against Liverpool. Could be a very decent game, Saturday, 3 o'clock UK time. Next up, we'll talk about Manchester City, who take on Chelsea on Sunday.
Barkley again, and he plays it. Hazard here, around the goalkeeper, slots it into the back of the net. And Eden Hazard's consummate performance gets the goal it deserves.
Near side of the six-yard box to him over on the left-hand side. Arsenal managed to scramble it away, but Iwobi's given it away to Aguero. Oh, it's taken 47 seconds. 47 seconds for Manchester City to take the lead.
Right, let's get to Sunday. Big game of the weekend. Manchester City up against Chelsea. Chelsea have won on just two of their last nine visits to the Etihad in the Premier League, winning 1-0 in February 2014 and 3-1 in December 2016. But, of course, beaten them already in the Premier League this year at Stamford Bridge. So, I don't know, maybe the Blues are a bogey side for the reigning champions, and this could be a much closer game than many of us might have anticipated. Now, full disclosure, we've mentioned already on the programme, we are recording before the Man City game against Everton, so we're going to assume everyone has come through that game fit and well and ready to play. I'm sure there were many changes as well to that team in midweek. Right, let's talk about Manchester City. A few blips in recent times, of course, the loss against Newcastle, the most obvious one, but some dodgy performances as well, some scrape wins. I heard someone describe that City were getting back on a roll. I'm not too sure that's true with some of the performances that went before that as well, but maybe you guys would disagree, and that's what this forum's all about. Talk to me about Chelsea this weekend going to Man City, Kev. Are they going to play in that extreme defensive style which they employed, Conte style, under Sarri at Stamford Bridge earlier this season and got the win? I think the goal from N'Golo Kante came from only the third pass in City territory in the entire half, and they scored from it. Or are we going to see a more expansive Chelsea? What do you see as their approach away at City this weekend?
I don't think anyone goes to Manchester City and tries to be expansive, if I'm honest.
Not even Sarri?
No, I can't see it. He's beginning to look like a Mourinho at Manchester United for me. He's stifling their creative players. Kante, well out of position for me. Doesn't really know how to play the position. He's the best at what he does in the Premier League as that sitting midfielder, as he proved at Leicester. Playing in a three on the right-hand side of it or on the left-hand side of it is wrong. Hazard, he's come out and said he's made his decision as to what he's going to be doing at the end of the season, which for him to say that, I think, tells me...
Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you, Eden. Real Madrid don't want you.
I think he'll be going somewhere. I really do. So I think they'll come out. I think they'll sit. They might even play the false number nine or no forwards that he does and say to City, come and break us down. And will that stifle City? I don't know. If you let them have enough of the ball, they're still gonna end up breaking you down for me.
Well, he didn't that night because we did the game, Tom. They didn't do that night because obviously, like you said, Kante scored from the only one attack they had, and they scored from a corner, a set piece. I'd be surprised if they play Hazard. I think at least with Higuain, there's actually a centre forward that Hazard can play with. You know, and you looked at the goals he scored and the link up play with Hazard. I think he'll go with Higuain. I think, and with Kev, you've still got to give an ounce of respect to City hitting top form. Aguero off the back, a hat-trick. So it'll have to be a defensive rear guard. But Man City off the back of a real tough week. Arsenal, like you said, obviously got Everton tonight. And then obviously Chelsea. So it's a good time for Chelsea to go and be playing them. Even though, like I said earlier, Man City have everybody firing in all cylinders.
Aguero's, might sound strange to say this, but he's stepped up again over the last few weeks. There was a bit of talk of when it was all going wrong, we were looking at Aguero and some of those big players and thinking you're not scoring the goals that they need at this time, but got that hat-trick against Arsenal last week, scored 11 goals in 11 home Premier League games this season.
I don't think he's the problem, Dave. I think Sterling and Sane have dried up because they had a spell just before Christmas where the two of them were on fire, but they've seemed to dry up a wee bit. But they've got so many options. Jesus now looks like he's back to some sort of form he was 18 months ago. So there can be no excuses in terms of you looking at one man. With the squad they've got, Kevin De Bruyne looks back now after four or five games back from injury, looks back to the level he was beforehand. So I can still see it being a City win, but I think it's a good time for Chelsea to play them.
What about defensively for Manchester City? There's been so many variations of defence this season. Laporte, Otamendi, Walker this weekend, just gone against Arsenal. Of course, we can't talk about the Everton side. Before that, Danilo's been playing. Denny's not starting against Arsenal. Has he been poor? I don't know. He didn't have a great game against Newcastle. But you can certainly get at City, and Vincent Kompany doesn't look like he'll be fit for this one either.
No, I think so. I think the problems we've spoke over a time, if Fernandinho's not there, they're really exposed. Whoever plays can be got at. Left-back's been a problem issue since Mendy's been injured. But that can't be left as an excuse because of the amount of players they've got in the squad and the money they've spent. But it is definitely an area where they've struggled in terms of left-back and Fernandinho's not playing. They can be got at.
We saw them beat Huddersfield 5-0 last week, and that kind of very temporarily papered over the big cracks that were starting to show before that game. And you know, it feels like everyone's kind of the gaze has been averted from Sarri and Chelsea somewhat. Whereas before that game last week, you know, there were a lot of people saying, "I think he's done. I think he's going to be done at the end of the season, if not before." And you know, we're back to it this week against Man City. You know, this is Higuain's come in and scored a couple of goals now. Is he going to be able to do it against a proper team?
Problem you have when you play against Manchester City is, yes, if you can get at them, they are vulnerable. And as Loamy said, if you take Fernandinho out the side, again, like Kante, one of the best at his position. He knows when to get it, pass it. He knows how many little niggly fouls does he commit when teams break forward. And, oh, little shove. Sorry, ref. Yeah. Puts his hands up. Very rarely gets booked. Oh, sorry about that, you know. Let's carry on. Picks the player up, gets on with it. The problem you have is, yes, they can be got at, but you need to have enough of the ball for long enough to get at them.
Yeah.
And Manchester City is so good at winning the ball back high up the pitch because of the way it's all 5-10 yard passes and they move up the pitch together. So invariably, when they lose the ball, you've got three or four players around the ball and they're winning it back straight away. You've got to be brave and try and play and beat that initial 2-3-man press and get out and keep the ball for long enough to get at them. And this is the problem teams have.
I think you have, but you've also got to then, for me, if I was Sarri this week, I would probably show them clips of what they did well against Man City without the ball. Because everybody to a man put in a shift, everybody knew the role, everybody was disciplined in terms of not going around kicking people, but holding the positions, breaking when it was on, but getting back behind the ball. And they're going to have to do more of the same, regardless of who Higuain coming in and Hazard now playing in his favourite position. They've got to have that level of discipline because, like Kev says, is, you know, in terms of when you're attacking, in that transitional period, when you lose it attacking to getting back, you've got to have everybody busting the gut to get back into defensive shape.
Away from the game this weekend, looking ahead at City's upcoming fixtures, they've got the game against Chelsea at the weekend, then it's the FA Cup against Newport, which will be an easy game for them, surely. Then you've got Champions League against Schalke, you've got the EFL Cup final to come, and that's all this month. Another game against West Ham midweek this month as well. So the games are coming thick and fast, and they have had their injury issues this year. You mentioned De Bruyne, he came back, but of course hobbled off in the game. Aguero scored a hat-trick at the weekend just gone. Looked like he was kind of limping a little bit as he came off as well. Just a question on focus, really, Steve, for Man City. It has been said a few times on this show and many others that City would prefer to win the Champions League than the Premier League. And at some point during this run, maybe the run after that, should they get past Schalke in the Champions League, that they might need to make some concessions for one competition over the other. Do you think that's the case? He said they're going to attack on all fronts, but it's just not possible, is it?
I think it's very hard to know when you're going to get injuries and when you're going to not, you know what I mean? So how do you... All right, it's always going to be a key month, nine games in February was always going to be a key month, so he's going to have to do rotation. That goes without saying. But to say that you can decide that at the start of the month, you know, I know he's a good manager, but you know, that's very hard to say, listen, this is what our likely our teams are going to be over them periods. Yeah, he's going to have to rotate players. But I think he wants to win the league. There's no doubt upstairs, Sheikh Mansour and the family want to win the Champions League because they realise they're then City are then becoming into the realms of being a superpower. Everybody knows they've got the financial clout. They've turned the obviously English Premiership around, but the big stage is the Champions League.
I think if Guardiola leaves Manchester City whenever he does and he hasn't won back-to-back Premier League titles, that will rankle with him. That, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson is the only one really that's consistently won back-to-back titles. Mourinho's done it once, but you know, that's the mark really of a dominant Premier League side.
10 years since anyone won the Premier League back-to-back. Been a long old time since that happened, so it would be a huge achievement if they were able to do it. Let's move on to Tottenham up against Leicester, Sunday, 1:30 UK time. Kev Watson, former Tottenham midfielder, they are back in the title race, no doubt about it. Looking at the end of the weekend, what, 5 points off top at the end of Monday's game against Liverpool, and they just sort of, without Harry Kane and without Dele Alli, have quietly got their way back into the title race. How have they done it?
They certainly have. I, for one, feared the worst when Son went off to the Asia Cup. Harry Kane done his ankle. Dele Alli innocuously slid off the pitch, done his hamstring. And I actually thought, that's it. You know, that's it. They'll be okay defensively. Are they going to carry enough goal threat to stay in the hunt? And all of a sudden, with the other two slipping up, they've quietly gone about their business, like you say, and they'll be now thinking, well, hang on, Son's back, Dele Alli, he'll be back soon, Harry Kane looks like he's going to be back within a week or so now.
Which they're saying 2nd of March for Kane, 16th for Alli.
They're still in it, they're still hanging on in there, and fair play to them. I think it's great management. He's got Janssen back. I know Janssen hasn't played, but for someone who he told was not going to be at the club anymore, not in my plans, all of a sudden he's been on the bench. Yeah. He's obviously had a good conversation to get him on side. Llorente's come in, not my cup of tea, scored a couple of important goals. So I thought they were really poor against Palace in the cup. But when you look at his body language in that game, he was not bothered one iota. He's normally up, he's on the side, he's goading his players. He just sat there with his arms crossed and thought, in my opinion, let's see what players I've got. Let's see what I can bring in when I need to. Let's see how they respond, these fringe players. And he was just watching. Brilliant management for me.
Yeah, I think so. 100% agree with you. I think the strength everybody's been saying is he's going to pay for not signing anybody. Tottenham's not going to sign anybody. And to be fair, the manager said, I'd rather take somebody from the youth. And let's have it right. He's got Lamella come back. He's got Moura's come back as well. People forget about them. They're quality players. And whatever you say about Llorente, you know, he single-handedly kept Swansea in the league for a couple of seasons. And if you give him the right service, and maybe it's a little bit different than the way Tottenham normally play, but if you give him the right service, he can be a handful. So I say all credit to Poch. He stood strong. He said, I'm the manager of this club. I know what I'm doing. And he's got the players on side, like you said, the likes of Janssen, who was so far out of the picture, is to be able to cajole him and to be come on the bench. But of course,
what else he got on though? He's not busy, is he?
No,
on. He's read all his books. He's completed all his games. He's got
on. But at the end of the day, Tom, when you're told you're not at a club, you mentally you're gone.
Right.
So for him to come on the bench and respond in the right way, you know, it's still credit to him.
Leicester City, the visitors to Tottenham this weekend, 1:30 on Sunday. Claude Puel still remains a man under pressure, but Leicester are an amazing story this season. One of just three non-Big Six sides to have won away against such a team this season. Of course, one at Chelsea, along with Wolves and Crystal Palace, who have picked up big wins away at the top six. They've picked up huge victories and put in good performances. I thought were good against Man U last week. Unlucky to lose that game 1-0 in the end. They pressed, they played some good stuff. That free kick from Cazal would have gone in against anyone but David De Gea, probably. You know, they're a good side, Leicester City, and they do turn it on against big teams, better teams.
I think they'll get something on Sunday. I can see them getting something. Tottenham have been admirably getting results lately, squeaking wins maybe when they're not been playing well enough, and I think that might just catch up with them, especially with the Champions League game on Tuesday at Dortmund.
Fifth best defence in the Premier League, Leicester, but I think it's the 13th or 14th best attack, so maybe that shows why some fans aren't happy. But cheer up, all right? It could be worse. Who else going to go in after Claude Puel and do a better job? They're talking about Brendan Rodgers. They'd probably get Allardyce, wouldn't they?
But they've just been spoilt by winning winning the Premier League 3-4 years ago, whenever it was.
Spoiled.
It's spoiled. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen again.
Yeah. No.
Ever.
Yep.
I think Claude Puel's realised he was trying to evolve and change a little bit. Listen, Leicester are a team that sits deep and plays on the counter.
Yeah.
And he's went back to that, and they're finally picking up a few results, because he was in danger of losing his job 6-7 games ago.
Yeah, they should be happier, but if you read the lips of Jamie Vardy after last week's game against Man U, maybe they're not all fully happy with Claude Puel as yet. Right, we'll move on. Next up, we'll talk Fulham up against Manchester United.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Ricardo does well on the far side, but then gives the ball away to Pogba. Over the top, looking for Rashford. Brilliant control. Brilliant finish from Marcus Rashford. And he marks his 100th Premier League appearance with an outstanding goal. And it's a goal so typical of Manchester United under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Pogba with the vision. Rashford with the finish. And it's Leicester City 0, Manchester United 1.
Right, big game in the Premier League early on Saturday. First game of the weekend, Fulham take on Manchester United. Is there life in Fulham right now? They've won two of their last three Premier League home games, as many as they had in their previous 11 at Craven Cottage. But I think it's fair to say it's not a good time to play Manchester United, looking to win six consecutive away games in all competitions for the first time in just shy of a decade. May 2009, the last time they were this good on the road. We'll talk about Manu in a second, but let's start with Fulham, because ever since the game a couple of weeks ago against Brighton, when they were 2-0 down, and we thought the season was over, they have suddenly shown a bit more fight. They showed a lot of fight, I thought, against Crystal Palace last week, but essentially the firepower that Palace have been missing all season long is now there. Benteke, Batshuayi, they could get forward and they could score. But Fulham certainly felt like they were in the game for long spells of it, and that showed as well in the comeback against Brighton before that. Got to win the home games, right? That's how it is when you stay down the bottom, and got to get on the front foot against Man U. You can't absorb Man U right now, Kev, can you?
No, you certainly can't. So they've got to have a go. And you know, under Ranieri, they will have a go. He's got a great record, hasn't he? Wherever he's been, his teams have had a go. They've not struggled, apart from the following season after he won the Premier League with Leicester. Mitrovic, good player, talisman for them. They'll have a go. They'll get at Manchester United. I just think that at the moment, the way Manchester United are playing, and again, like Lomi mentioned about Bournemouth, intimate little ground, tight little pitch, stands right on top of you. You got to get your results there. Fulham have to get their results there. Can they get it against Manchester United? Yeah, they can. Do I expect them to? No. I think Man U are playing at the top of their game right now, and I think they could blow them away.
You just don't see how that defence is going to cope with Manchester United, do you?
100%. I think they've got to score goals, because there's no doubt they're going to concede against Man United, especially with the Fulham's defence. So, you know, something Ranieri prides himself on. But if you haven't got the tools at your, you know, expense, you're going to really struggle. But Pogba at the minute on fire, Rashford looking like he's really, you know, staking a claim for being the main man. And then if you're really struggling, then you just throw on Romelu Lukaku.
Well, Pogba just looks like he's having a kick around with his mates in the playground at the minute, doesn't he? Watching the game the other day, absolutely run the show,
pass over the top thing was fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, he just plays at a leisurely pace. Arrogant, yes, but to play at that level, you need a bit of arrogance. And he is now stepping up to the plate and really he's the governor at the minute in that Manchester United midfield.
Might be interesting to see what Solskjaer does with the team. They've got PSG at home on Tuesday. Might he change a couple of players with that game in mind?
Rest Rashford, rest Martial, maybe Lukaku through the centre. They can't afford Lindelof or Bailly to be injured, so maybe we'll see another pairing.
I think it would be key to get, you know, Lukaku a start. Certainly them Fulham boys wouldn't want him. He's got a point to prove as well. Obviously he now looks like he's not the main man. Rashford's come in and took his crown, so you would certainly have a motivated player, which sometimes Romelu Lukaku isn't. So I think it's whatever team Man United put out, I think it's going to be a win.
I think it's the first real managerial test that he's faced, with the Champions League coming up on Tuesday. What team can I pick that will be good enough? I know they do have very good players waiting to come in. What team do I pick that I feel is good enough to win this game? Because they're still fighting to finish in the top four. So they need
to
win.
Can't throw it away, yeah.
No, they need to win.
I tell you what, though, what's interesting, reading all the sports pages we all do, is that there's obviously some real briefing going on right now, some feelers going out about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer staying on as manager. There's Jordi Cruyff in the Times this week talking about Ole knows the DNA of the club. There's been a few pieces about he doesn't like to be called boss. Call me Ollie, you know, that sort of thing. It feels like there's a lot of briefing going on right now, maybe subtly, maybe not, from journalists in that area and down the country, and maybe around the world as well, to people listening, that he might actually be the answer moving forward. The next few games will be critical, obviously, with the Champions League and finishing in those top four places as well. But, you know, it doesn't feel like, Dave, you said a few weeks ago that the move for Pochettino has happened. We've had nothing of that. We keep getting these good news stories about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I think they've just got to be careful. They need to make sure that they're absolutely certain, if they give Solskjaer the job, that he's the right man for the job. Don't be swayed by sentimentality, just the fact that he's a club legend. If you think he's good enough, great. Give him the job, get it done early, back him.
And maybe if that nice approach, he's nice, and he needed to be, because it just needed to be after Mourinho. You needed a nice guy, and he's lifted everybody and the mood. But where he's got to be strong and where he's got to show his mettle is managing up. So whenever he goes there, he said, these are the players I want rid of. No questions after. They give him the job, and this is who the players I want brought in.
They do need to change the structure of the club, and I think that's clear. And no matter who's the manager next season, the way they sign players in the modern day, I don't think is good enough compared to some of their competitors. And you saw that with David Moyes. They had the targets, but they couldn't get the deals done. Ed Woodward is all of a sudden in charge of the football operations of this club, and he's come from the commercial department. It's not his bag. And they've not really changed it since, and that's clearly been a problem. And you know, there was no harmony with Jose Mourinho and what he wanted and what the club thought they wanted. They need someone who knows what they're doing in the transfer market.
But I think that is what I'm saying. They need a strong manager to say, listen, this is who I want. Where they need to bring somebody in as an in-between in terms of a chief scout. Yeah. But has he got that belief in himself and that strength with his pedigree in terms of his management side to say, this is what I want. Yep. Do it my way. If you don't do it my way, I don't want the job. Or is he just going to be happy? Let's have it right. This is Man United. It'd be very hard to go in there and strong arm like an Alex Ferguson did. He went in there and changed the whole culture of the team. I know it's a different era, and the way they sign players is different, Dave. But has he got that strength and belief in himself? Say, all right, if you're not going to do it my way, I don't want the job.
What he's done is very clever. I think he's gone in, and a lot of players, they need individual treatment, don't they, Lomi? You know, you've been a manager. Some need a cuddle. Some need, not a right-hander, but like a real going over. He's gone in there and give everyone a cuddle. Been everyone's mate, been their friend, been an ex-player, talked to him, call him Ollie. And there's an argument to say, why fix what's not broken? However, the start of a new season, getting rid of players, signing players, starting with a clean slate, where especially if he gets in the top four, they'll be expected to move on. Different kettle of fish.
And let's have it right. Look at, in the past, temporary managers who have done well, and then when they got the job, they're out of the job.
Absolutely, you know, right. Correct, yeah.
Mm. You know, at the drop of hat, Craig Shakespeare, Matteo at Chelsea, another prime example, did well, won the Champions League. Five months later, he's out of the job.
It's a good point.
Uncle Avram went to West Ham. He really suffered. One final question on Fulham, who are the hosts for this game this weekend. I think it's a really interesting time for Fulham. So they got the Man U game this weekend, fine, but we expect them to lose that game. Any point they get is a bonus. Then looking at their next couple of games, away to West Ham, and that's a winnable game. West Ham in that kind of mid-table area don't do well against the teams below them, really. Then Southampton away, and that could be a really important game down the bottom of the Premier League. Southampton still in that mix after their draw against Burnley last weekend. What chance of Fulham being able to get the 34, 35 that they need to stay in the Premier League, currently sitting on 17 after 25 games?
Well, the fixtures you've just listed, they've got a real chance. They've got a chance to get out of it. I would like to see them get out of it, which makes the game against Manchester United not a free hit. But they can go out there, and like most managers at the bottom of the league, they'll be targeting games where they think we can win this game. Do they realistically think they can beat Manchester United? No. But he'll be telling his players, go out there, show them what you've got. Nothing to lose, have a real go.
Look how important that win for Newcastle was against Man City. That's what I'd be saying to them.
Listen, I don't think they're going to afford to pick, and I know what you're saying, but at the end of the day, they've got 17 points from 25 games. They've got to get another 17 from 14. Mm. So, listen, for me, it's going to be a struggle. The last 4 or 5 weeks, he needed to pick up more wins. Yeah. They need to go on a run at home. They probably need to win 85-90% of the home games to have any chance, and they haven't done that so far this season.
Yeah, 7 home wins, 21 points from now would probably be enough, but you've got to win those games. Right, let's continue talking about the bottom of the Premier League. Brighton take on Burnley Saturday, 5:30 UK time. Brighton have won only one of their last 10 Premier League games, beating Everton at the end of December. Burnley unbeaten in their last 6 games, 3 wins and 3 draws. Only Man U on a better run in the competition right now. Now, Burnley find themselves on 24 points, 17th place, 2 outside the relegation zone, Brighton up in 13th. But Brighton have got a game on Wednesday. This is before or after we've recorded the programme, so we don't know how they've got in the cup, but we can assume they've changed everybody, because, Kev, I can't help but feel at the moment that Chris Hughton will be thinking the form has tailed off. The goals have always been pretty dry. They were 2-0 up at Fulham and failed to win the game. They're relying on Glenn Murray in his 35th year to score the goals to keep him up. He'll have some worries, won't he, at the moment, that they could be dragged into this. I'm not sure that of anyone that's above the bottom three, that they've got enough yet.
No, they're 5 points clear of the relegation zone. They have started slipping up. They're heavily reliant, and they have been, on set pieces for a lot of the season, and Glenn Murray in particular. And at some point, a 35-year-old is going to start feeling tired if he's playing every game of a Premier League season. And maybe that's why. I think they've got enough. I think they'll stay up for the simple fact that they're 13th, and although they're only 5 points clear of trouble, there's still another 4 teams below them that have got to start winning their games also.
I think Chris has done an amazing job, but I think they're two wins away from cementing the place. That's what way he's got to look at it. But on the other flip side of the coin, from Burnley, Southampton, Newcastle, Palace, Brighton are the team that's in the worst form. Them other 4 teams are actually on the front foot compared to where they were at the start of the season.
And teams sink, don't they? We've seen it with Sheffield United, the ones I remember being 10th, end up going down.
100%, Tom. And like you said, you want to get them that win. If he gets another win in the next 2 or 3 games, that sort of almost cements him up. But, you know, you go another 4 or 5 games without
a
win.
It's
a massive game.
Next up, let's talk about a man who might not have a big role for his team for the rest of this season. The Marco Silva derby as Watford take on Everton.
Into the area, it falls here for Dendonka, who volleys into the roof of the net. Wolves on the break. Ball broke to Dendonka. He missed. missed in the first half. He didn't miss in the second. Left foot volley into the roof of the net. And surely now Wolves are going to pick up a fifth away win of the season. It's Everton 1, Wolves 3.
Right, let's get to the Marco Silva derby. A game that 18 months ago might not have had this vitriol behind it. I was chatting to Toby Gillis, one of our colleagues here at TalkSport this week. And last weekend, after Everton's defeat against Wolverhampton Wanderers, he came over and showed me a message from his mum, who is not a big football fan, but she knows that the family are all big Watford fans. She showed him this text, and it was like, "I see Everton's new superstar manager's doing a great job. Even the bystanders of Watford are loving just how bad it's going at the moment for Marco Silva and Everton." But it is worth saying they're worse at home than they are away. They're looking to win consecutive away league games, and they have thrashed Burnley away from home this year, so maybe the pressure of Goodison is an issue. But Dave, of course we're going to come to you first on this. What sort of reception will you be giving Marco Silva this weekend? Are you going? Have you taken some rotten tomatoes?
Well, look, Vicarage Road isn't exactly renowned for its sort of Galatasaray-esque welcome to hell atmosphere, but if it's ever going to be like that, I think on Saturday we'll have a chance. It was the fixture that all Watford fans looked for beyond all others this season. They weren't worried about last day of the season, Boxing Day, or Man United, Man City. No, it's when are we playing Everton at home and away? And there is some real bad blood between the supporters and the club, I think, as well. They really held on for everything they could get out of Everton in terms of the compensation situation, and they were very public in their displeasure with the situation. Yeah. And how Marco Silva treated them and acted when he was the manager of Watford. It was all good. It was going so well for him at Vicarage Road last season. They had a good start to the season, but as soon as the sniff of the Everton job came along, he was off. And he wasn't bothered. And I think the way he conducted himself is the key thing here. Because, look, managers move on. You get offers, players move on. That happens. We're used to it. But it's the way he did it, and the reports that you heard of the way that he basically completely just sulked and threw his toys out the pram and said, "Look, I'm not bothered until you let me go." And eventually they got rid of him. We've replaced him with a thoroughly great man in Javi Gracia, who everyone loves, and he's done a great job. And nothing would give me and all the other 20,000 Watford fans inside Vicarage Road more pleasure than to see him wipe the smugness of Marco Silva's face on Saturday.
But isn't it quite ironic, Dave, that this is a club that have had five managers and sack a manager after he does well and bring in another manager? So I understand what you're saying. I think Marco Silva, for me, has been very lucky in his management career. But that being said, I can't really have a great amount of sympathy for Watford, the way they've treated managers in the past. Well, and I think it's a double-edged sword. You treat players that way, sometimes karma comes back to bite you.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, look, the focus, forgetting about the stuff between the two clubs, the big situation here is Marco Silva, and he is under pressure as Everton manager. And he's not the first one. It seems to be a repeating situation with Everton that managers go in and it's just not, you've had Martinez, you've had Koeman, you've had Allardyce, now you've got Silva. None of them can get it right.
Is it about time, Steve? Is it about some of these managers getting a longer run at Everton? They've had a director of football, then there was not a director of football, there was a chairman making the transfers, the chairman's gone, the director of football comes in, new manager comes in, Allardyce plays one way, Silva plays the other, Koeman plays another. He's not doing great right now, Marco Silva, but Everton fans need to back off a bit, don't they?
Well, I think you're 100% right. Different ways of working, different managers, different types. Then you've got a turnover of players. You know, one manager buys one player, then it's not his type. So I think you're 100% right, Tom. They've got a... Well, everybody thought this, it was Marco Silva. They're going to give him. He's forward-thinking. He's the newfangled. Sam Allardyce was a dinosaur, the way he plays. But unfortunately, and we know, at any level, listen, you've got 10 games. And he is all over the shop. And at the minute, defensively, it doesn't look like he's getting the best from them, because they're conceding, I think it's something like, I think the worst defensive record in set plays. Now, you would like to think that's one of the easier things to solve. Yeah. You know what I mean? You've got to work on it. But, you know, obviously, the way you play an open style of formation is different. That comes with quality players. But listen, he's under pressure. If he gets turned over this week, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes.
Unfortunately, that is the nature of the beast. Loamy's managed, I've managed at different levels, albeit not the Premier League. However, I inherited a scenario in a non-league team where I had to. We were already relegated. I got taken in. Yeah, next season we'll really have a go for it. Whatever. I had to get rid of all 18 players because they wasn't good enough. So therefore, I had to start from scratch, build a team, build a team. So along the way, I didn't know non-league particularly well. I had some come in, weren't good enough, was good enough, not sure. All of a sudden, it took me till 10 games to go in that season to get a settled 12, 13 players that I could rely on week in, week out. So he's still got players hangover from the previous era, completely different styles of football, what they want to play. So you do need time. So I'm with you, Tom. I think they do need to back off a bit, give him time to get completely his team and his players. Unfortunately, he's got players there under contract that he probably doesn't want, who don't fit into his style. However, you're right. You're only ever 4 games away from the sack. And no one cares. If he keeps losing, he'll get sacked.
But listen, when you go into management at any level, you've got to manage them players that are there
that you have.
Further down the line. But it's quite clearly with the players they've got, and they've got some good players. He isn't getting the best out of them. It's as simple as that. Whatever that be the case, whether you know there's too many seniors there, whether there's too many attacking players, whatever that the balance is, he is not doing enough for that Everton squad.
And they sacked Sam Allardyce when he finished 8th, right?
Yep.
Sam was talking about that on TalkSport this week, saying how ludicrous he thought that decision was. Clearly a man who has some bitterness to Everton, and fairly so, to be honest. And you know they're 9th. Watford are in 8th at the moment. You could easily have a situation where Everton slip into the bottom half maybe after this weekend. And
perspective on clubs is so funny, isn't it? Because you look at that little group of teams. Wolves having a phenomenal season. Watford a good season. Bournemouth a good season. West Ham an okay season. Leicester, dreadful. It's awful. Puel out. Everton above Watford and West Ham and Bournemouth. Get him out. It's rubbish. I don't like it. You know, even I've just said West Ham having an okay season. They're having a good season, really. They've beaten Man U and drawn against Liverpool. You know, it's funny from that fan perspective what you think should happen and what actually happens. It's going to be a great game, I think, Watford-Everton. Watford, much like all those teams, you never know what you're going to get. But what you did get last week, phenomenal showing from Ben Foster. Great performance.
I think the
Watford official Twitter was like, right, who's man of the match? Ben Foster's left leg, right leg, left arm, right arm. I thought it was great. Right, let's move on. Southampton against Cardiff City. Saints unbeaten in 5 Premier League matches.
Big game, this one.
It's their best run since 2016 they've had in the Premier League. Should have won against Burnley last week, but that 93rd minute penalty saw it as a draw. For Cardiff, great win last week in very difficult circumstances against Bournemouth. It was very touching the way they handled the whole thing, and Neil Warnock was obviously very affected by the whole Emiliano Sala story last week, and the club handled everything absolutely fantastically. On the field, they were great as well, outplayed Bournemouth for long spells, and Kev Watson, this is a game, as Dave rightly says, it's a fantastic match down the bottom of the Premier League, and I would say, from my perspective, utterly unpredictable. I don't know what's going to happen here.
I looked at this fixture earlier on today, and I can't call it. I really can't call it. You've got Southampton that have picked up under Hasenhüttl, and you're thinking, yeah, they'll get out of it. You've got Cardiff, and as you rightly mentioned, the Emiliano Sala story, which is absolutely tragic. I think that it's going to have a massive effect on them going forward. Yes, Saturday, it's all very, very fresh in the memory, and have produced a wonderful day, great win. Going forward, does that carry on like that, or does it get to players? Does it get to Neil Warnock? How do they react going forward? It's a very unpredictable game. I wouldn't be able to call that either way.
I think, everybody hopes. I know Neil Warnock in the past has been a pantomime villain, but I think everybody would be delighted if he stayed up this
Absolutely,
year. And
yeah.
for them to be in with a fighting chance is fantastic. When you consider they played a fullback up front in Patterson for the majority of the season.
Yeah.
Obviously, they thought they were signing somebody that was going to come in and be the talisman in the season. And tragic circumstances that happens. Then you throw on the back of the fact of they were the first team to play Leicester after the tragedy. So they've had a roller coaster of emotions and times. But to be in there fighting, I would really love Cardiff to stay in the league this season.
Although Neil Warnock is not everyone's cup of tea, I don't think you'd want anyone else in charge of that team at the minute. I think he will know how to speak to them, how to galvanise them. And as you say, I'd love to see them get out of trouble.
Yeah, some good showings last week from Cardiff as well. I was covering the game and I thought Bobby Reid was fantastic. Umani Ass played great. Joe Rawls in midfield, booting everyone up in the air. Without Harry Arter, they won as well. I always think it's outstanding. So he should be back this weekend against Southampton. Let's move on. Crystal Palace up against West Ham United. Sometimes teams are just bogey teams for others. Crystal Palace winless in 7 Premier League encounters with West Ham. 3 draws and 4 defeats in that time. But West Ham have lost their last 3 away games in the Premier League. Aggregate score 7-0.
You're going to lose this, aren't you?
Oh,
just put in a good show against Liverpool, you're going to lose to Palace.
I mean, Steve Lomas.
Is it that song, The Real Slim Shady, Please Stand Up? Because you just don't know what you're getting with West Ham.
I never picked you out as an Eminem fan. I never would have got that.
Hey, secret tragedy, that is.
But Crystal Palace last week got their strikers. Batshuayi came on and played well. Benteke, you know, looked the part for the first time in a long time. West Ham. Steve, you've seen him a lot this year, as Dave says. 1 week, fantastic. Next week, absolutely dreadful. Arnautovic could be back for this one, should be back. Nasri as well. So some of the cavalry have started to get back.
I think there's a lot of positives as well. The way West Ham are wanting to play, I think with Anderson and Antonio, they've got pace out wide, a bit similar to what Palace have got. So I think with Palace, like I said, I think West Ham are better when teams come on to them. Palace are probably better. So it's to mention what way the game goes. I think with Palace at home, they'll have to come and attack. It's just whether we can defend properly. And I think, you know, Batshuayi comes in, looks like he's going to be a good foil for Saha and the likes and Townsend. So it's a really evening match game. Again, you don't know what way it's going to go, but I think defences will be key to the game.
Would you keep West Ham same team as Monday, that midfield three as well? I think Robert Snodgrass will look better in a midfield three than he has anywhere else this year.
Well, I think just the energy that he brings, the determination, the work rate, I think, you know, he's earned it by his sheer will, and then he's an example for any player that's out of the picture. I think Frederick's come in and showed that he's got the pace, and I would love, because with the greatest respect to Zabaleta, you know, he's been a fantastic player. He's at the end of his career. Give Fredericks a go to the end of the season to see if he can handle the step up, because he's having the game here, game there. Give him 12 games and it'll be a great test who he plays, especially at right back. There's going to be great pace up against him. I thought he did okay against Liverpool's pace as well. But it's a toss of a coin. And it's also a toss what mindset West Ham turn up. When they play the big games, they're up for it, because they know they have to be at their best. But these games here are key. Why we're not pushing on.
Pretty big game for Palace this, because everyone sort of don't really include them when they're talking about the relegation battle, but they are only 4 points above the bottom 3. And if Cardiff were to capitalise on that win last week and get a win this weekend, Palace lose, they're 1 point above the relegation zone.
Yep, and it could also maybe drag teams like West Ham, maybe Leicester back into it as well. Yeah. Cardiff winning games has upset a lot of teams in the Premier League right now. Absolutely right. One team definitely going down, Huddersfield Town. They've lost their last 6 Premier League home games, just 2 wins all season. So, you know, if they're not going to bother them, why should we? Let's talk about Arsenal. Winless in their last 6 Premier League away games. Kev Watson, what did you make of their performance last week against Man City? And does it matter who plays at the back this week for Arsenal, because Huddersfield aren't going to get at them?
Well, yeah, 6 without winning. Did you say on the road?
On the road, yeah.
Yeah. What a game for them to have. It's most certainly one where you can put that to bed and get back to winning ways.
To Chelsea last week, isn't it?
Yeah.
The game you want when things aren't going too well for you.
Huddersfield at the moment they're completely out of their depth in this division. Mm. Let's get it right. So,
the Eric the Eel of the Premier League, I like to think of this.
Arsenal's performance at Manchester City. Okay, first half, and then incredibly loose. I thought Manchester City, once they got the first goal, would go on to win comfortably, which in the end they did. Arsenal had a go, played 2 up top. I just think that plays eventually into Manchester City's hands, and so it turned out. But what a game for them to get back to winning ways and keep the pressure in that top 4.
Another team in the long transition, Arsenal, right now. I'm sure Emery will get another year and maybe even a transfer window where he can buy some players. Imagine that. Finally, Monday night football, Wolverhampton Wanderers up against Newcastle. Wolves won the reverse fixture in December, looking to achieve a double over Newcastle for the first time since 91-92. Newcastle will go ultra defensive there. You've seen it plenty of times from Newcastle, and Wolves will try and score some goals on the front foot.
I think it's beauty and the beast, isn't it? You know, looking at Wolves, lovely football, open, one attack, and look at Newcastle and Benitez. And Benitez, he has to go that way because he hasn't got the players. But it goes to show you the difference between two managers and a mindset. Wolves have come up, and the manager says, "Listen, we're going to attack." Benitez says, "Listen, I haven't got the players." So maybe it's a bit of both. But listen, I've really enjoyed watching Wolves this year. I don't know about you,
Wolves,
boys.
They have some of their better moments this season on the counter attack, though. So I don't know if that might be an issue for them. You know, they've got good enough players to obviously dominate possession and have the ball and take the game to Newcastle. But when they've been flying forward sometimes on the counter-attack, that's when they've looked their most dangerous. So if Newcastle do manage to defend, could get something.
I think that's because teams have got wind that they can have a lot of possession against you. So they defend deep against Wolves. They're almost Manchester City's little baby brother, aren't they? Learning how to be like them. And teams go, "Oh, you're going to have more of the ball." But you're right. You almost want teams to come onto you because they're terrific to watch growing. Great going forward, and I like them.
Beauty v. the Beast. Tale as old as time. Song as old as rhyme. Oh. Thank you, Steve. Great stuff, everyone. That's the end of the preview show for this week. We are back next week.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.